And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
The Flyers make a coaching change, brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 23 Mailbag Edition. Nick Elberga and Jake Hahn with you. What's going on, Jake?
Nick, it is never, never too late in the season for a coaching change, a coach jumping ship. I don't know what we're going to call this, but we'll get into it. We'll get into a lot more, obviously, as fantasy playoffs roll along here late into March. This episode is brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
I can't believe the last time an NHL head coach fired himself, but effectively that's what happened after John Tortorella's comments following that lopsided loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So Brad Shaw will take over on an interim basis. Biggest benefiters right away, Matvei Michkov and Owen Tippett, no doubt about it.
I was going to say Owen Tippett. So you could throw Michkov in there as well. I feel like Michkov's been getting consistent enough minutes. Maybe, you know, not as much as we'd like as fantasy owners for him. Someone rooting for a young player. As we know, young players in that Torts offense, Nick, he's not just going to hand the car keys over to these guys. And, you know, Tippett's been a guy where his minutes have been very inconsistent all year. And I've said a couple times, I think the Flyers at some point, you know, maybe it's not this season, but maybe it's going into next year. You got to pick your guys and you got to go with it. Like, none of this changes up power play units all the time. Like, pick a couple guys that you think are your offensive studs. I'm sure one of them is going to be Michkov, and go with it, right? So are we riding? I know we're going to have Carter Hutton on for On the Money coming up here shortly, Nick, but are we riding the coach bump tonight, Philly against Montreal with the Flyers on home ice?
That's a big one, because actually coming into this show before the coaching change, I was going to be like, ride Montreal puck line. The Flyers are finished. They got zero identity, but like, we're going to see the resolve of the organization, of the team, in this game. At the very least, again, I'm probably playing Michkov. I'm probably playing Tippett. I think there's got to be some sort of reaction to a coaching change, but they're bare bones. You look at that roster, no clue what that crease is going to look like moving forward. Same with the blue line. You know, I wonder, for a kid like Cam York, who got a front row seat to a hockey game the other night, now he's got a different coach. Like, what was the point of that? He got a free game out of it, I guess.
It feels like this team has taken some sort of a step back. I mean, you could argue it's been a step sideways. They missed the playoffs last year. They missed the playoffs again this year. So you could argue it's kind of a lateral step, but I would almost say it is a step backwards, because other teams in your range have taken a step forward. Your Ottawa's, your Montreal's, some of these teams that just look closer to or might be playoff teams this year, Nick. So I think this is the right move for all parties. As we know, Torts can wear his welcome a little bit. It might have even happened last year. We remember how great of a story Philly was, and then it fizzles out at the end of the season. You could argue, okay, maybe Torts wore on the team a little bit. And I always did feel, I don't know if you disagree with this, Nick, but I always did feel like once this Flyers team was ready to compete and actually be a legitimate team, Torts probably wouldn't be there anymore, because it would have taken way too long. And I just didn't see Torts behind the bench in Philly for 4, 5, 6 years.
Well, it's funny, because I was talking to a friend the other day and I said, Torts is more of a closer. Like, this guy is 66, right? And I just don't see him on a team, you know, firmly in a rebuild. Like, the Flyers are not going to compete for a couple years, and it just never made sense. So Brad Shaw is going to take over there, but I'm sort of borderline disappointed producer Bob Bender is not here. We got Phil Constantino, our main man. But how long has Bobby been on me about the whole Torts conversation that I brought up last year? But he has an expiry date. Everywhere he coaches, he has an expiry date. And watching this team, especially in the second half, you just knew the writing was on the wall, Jake.
He does. And I look at him the same way. I look at him as just this guy that could come in mid-season replacement. Okay, you got a team that has some potential, kind of like what we're seeing in St. Louis this year, right? I know that happened a little bit earlier in the season, but someone to just come in, give a team that immediate kick in the pants, bit of a jolt, and then push them over the edge, right? I think over 2-3 years, it starts to become a little bit of a tired act, and you get players that are just kind of fed up with it. And I think we've seen it in the results the last couple of games. They look like a team that had completely packed it in.
And guys, wanted to chime in. Another guy I think will get a bump, Travis Sanheim. Really heavy workload, only 1 point in his past 16 games. I think maybe the chains get off him a little bit. The offense opens up. He gets more involved in the offense and makes a difference in fantasy playoffs around different leagues. You look at his edge stats, 98th percentile in 20 plus mile per hour speed burst, 99th percentile in skating distance. So the guy's all over the place.
Love that. And you know who gets the biggest bump out of all this? The NHL on TNT panel. There's no doubt about it, Jake.
There we go. They've added another member, right? They get the little bit of a boost here, right? And look, I do love Torts on television. Yeah, I think he's got potential to grow as well. And again, I don't know what his plans are, but if he wants to commit to that, obviously he's always had kind of one foot in the door with the coaching and, you know, wanted to get back into it. So yeah, you'll do some media, but you still kind of feel like, yeah, I'm a coach. But if he ever wanted to decide and say, hey, I'm going to commit to just being a media guy and really work on it, I think he could be a very entertaining person in our league.
Nick, curious your thoughts. General hockey topic, is Torts a Hall of Famer? He's won the Jack Adams with two different teams, won the Stanley Cup with the Lightning back in the day. I think he is.
1,000%. You think NHL coaches in the last 25 years or so, John Tortorella is like a top three mention. I think he's done a lot for the game. I love his personality. I love his color. I like that he puts his heart on the line, and he's won games. I mean, we've talked about it. That Stanley Cup alone, Jack Adams, he always has somewhat competitive teams. It was a weird fit from the get-go in Philadelphia. I see what they tried to do there, obviously, with a guy who's that hard-nosed Philadelphia mentality, but it never really made sense to me. So Tortorella out, fifth coach fired this season, St. Louis, Boston, Chicago, Detroit, and Philly, and Bradshaw taking over on an interim basis, and it'll be interesting in the summer, Jake, to see who takes this job if it's not Bradshaw.
Well, yeah, exactly. Bradshaw, I don't know how much you could look at this as a tryout, right? End of the season with a team that's completely out of it. I'm not going to read too much into the results here. So that's going to be Philly's decision. I have one final Torts question for you, Nick, before we move on.
Yeah.
Do you think we see Torts back in the league? I don't know if it's next year, but over the next couple of years, like how many teams are out there that you think would still want to bring in a John Tortorella at this point?
Just takes one. He's 66, and it just depends on the fire. I think the one thing people don't realize is how much it takes out of you to be a coach in this league, especially with the modern day player and having to adjust. So my gut tells me probably yes. I think you're always looking for that next job, that right fit. I think there's going to be some opportunities that open up this summer. So I'm going to go with yeah. But for in the meantime, I'd love to see John Tortorella in the media. Delivered by Skip, we got a couple questions here. Which defenseman would you pick up? We'll build that into the conversation, of course, about Travis Sanheim, as Pete brought up. Also, Alex Pietrangelo going down a lower body injury internally. I want to look at Noah Hanifin's a guy I would pick up, especially with Shea Theodore coming back to the ice as well for Vegas this week. Externally, Justin Falk has been on fire. We gave him a shout last week. Philip Broberg with St. Louis as well. And Artem Levchinov with Chicago. He's a guy I have on for rest of season purposes as well.
I love that shout. I scooped him up in a league as well. I always like this, the young potential, right? This is one of the angles you could follow late in the season. Team that's out of it, team that's rebuilding, like Chicago, that brings in one of their, you know, young, hopefully future stars, and just says, hey, here's the keys to the first power play. I get it. You know, maybe it's not a power play that's totally loaded, but it still does have Connor Bedard on it, a couple pieces. So I think there's something to work with there and an angle for fantasy down the stretch. Darren Radish has been another interesting one on the back end. I don't know. I can't figure this guy out. Sometimes he's on the first power play and he's snapping it around to Nikita Kucherov. Sometimes he's playing on the fourth line as a forward. So I don't know what's going on there with Darren Radish, but it does feel like he's got at least a little bit of fantasy appeal here as well.
Guys, I buried the lead. I meant to dedicate today's podcast to Pugh Suter, who has been on fire and just a money stream for me in the fantasy playoffs. Ditto for Tyler Bertuzzi, who I picked up last night. We talked about it a lot. Teams that might not necessarily go far, I think you have to be all over them. The Canucks have shown a bit of resolve this week. We'll see if they can get in. I think they'll need a team like Minnesota to slip. St. Louis has been on fire, but I want to give a shout-out to Pugh Suter. Got a bit of an update, Jake, in Edmonton. Drysdale's about a week away. McDavid longer than that. That's not much, but tell you right now, watching that team without those two guys, much different looking Oilers squad.
It's just weird. It's just weird. It feels like, okay, like if we ever project what the Oilers are going to look like when McDavid and Draisaitl's careers are over, which are obviously, you know, a long way in the future. Those guys are still right in the prime of their careers, but you think of what an Oilers team would look like without those guys, and it's just strange. So I guess it's Ryan Nugent-Hopkins' team right now, Nick. I do like his props at the moment. Obviously, he gets a little bit of a boost in fantasy hockey. It's tough because these guys get extra minutes, so there's that positive, but there's the negative of not having the effect of McDavid and Draisaitl, right? So these guys all of a sudden have to become line drivers, and it's just not really in their game at this point. I'd like to see something a little bit more from Victor Arvidsson, you know, maybe get Jeff Skinner going a little bit here, but so far it looks like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has gained the biggest boost from what's been happening.
It's funny too, guys. Remember you guys said something was missing without the two top dogs in Edmonton? You know what else is missing? Philip Broberg and Dylan Holloway. I mean, is this going to end up being like an all-time bad blunder by Edmonton management? Broberg just had a four-point game the other day.
Yeah, it's sickening. I mean, sometimes you have to make decisions like that in the heat of the moment. Some of the commentary following that, and I'll be honest, I love the depth of the Oilers coming into the season. They haven't even played a game with Evander Kane, so I'm going to reserve judgment. But those two guys, Doug Armstrong looks like a genius for offer sheeting those guys, Jake.
I am starting to think, and this just might be recency bias, but we've had a file on the Oilers. It's not just them playing without McDavid and Draisaitl. This goes well back to when these guys were healthy, Nick. I'm starting to think this just isn't the same team. And goaltending issues, we see Stuart Skinner get
hurt.
He's got
to stop this act, Jake. Every third game I watch, he leaves the game for some reason.
Well, yeah, and obviously awkward collision with Mikko Rantanen kind of coming through close to the crease, and he leaves. But even beside the injury, Nick, he's just not playing well, right? Like, even when he's been out there, he's not playing well. Cal Pickard, okay, he's fine as a backup, but obviously he's not going to help you win a cup or anything like that. So they need Skinner to find his game. They obviously need him to be healthy, but they need him to find his game for the playoffs, because the more and more I watch the LA Kings, and look, I get it, they lose to Edmonton every single year, but the style of hockey, the brand that they're playing, they look way deeper than the Edmonton Oilers right now, Nick. I think maybe it's time for the Kings to buck history, and who knows, maybe the Kings have their sights set on even winning the division the way they're playing.
Maybe.
Right now.
There is this narrative brewing in the NHL media world that LA is going to beat the Edmonton Oilers. I'm here to say they're not going to beat the Oilers. I think the Oilers are bored. I said this 2 weeks ago about the Maple Leafs, started winning some games. I think Edmonton's resting their guys. It's load management, okay? Yeah, these guys are out for 2 to 3 weeks. They're going to pop up with a week left before the season. Just watch. So I just can't get behind that, but I think you're so right. Goaltending is going to be so key. Darcy Kemper's been really, really steady. The Kings are feeling really good about life. And honestly, Jake, I'm going to find a lot of value in betting on the Oilers in that series, and I'm happy about it.
Well, you might, and I'd be very curious what the opening line of that series is going to be once we get there. Now, if Edmonton starts playing that great hockey that you mentioned, like a week left in the season, okay, McDavid's healthy, Draisaitl's healthy, maybe Skinner's healthy and playing well, that could shift the narrative, that could shift the betting line. But if LA gets home ice advantage and they have the inside track for it right now, they've lost three games in regulation on home ice all season long. I don't know what you'd set the line at, because you have to have respect for the Oilers and McDavid and Leon and what they've done in that series and the history between those two teams, but you can't ignore LA's home record and the way that they're playing right now. So I'd be very curious what the odds would look like for that potential opening round series.
Guys, how would you tap into the Kings right now, whether they're home or road? I feel like they're just rolling. There's Warren Fogle, you could tap into him, Trevor Moore. The shot volume for those two guys have been awesome, and Fogle's quietly at 20 goals, another guy that I guess got away from the Oilers recently.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, piggybacking off our conversation about the trade deadline, Andrei Kuzmenko, I was watching the game the other night, he was a monster. I think the thing with him, we just talked about the Flyers and Torts getting canned. Kuzmenko, it's all about motivation, man. There's something Kovalev to him, if you understand my drift, where it's like, if he wants to play, he wants to play. If he doesn't, he doesn't. He's certainly a guy down the stretch here in fantasy hockey, Jake. I would monitor and maybe stream. It just depends on the night. But I thought he was awesome the other night in that victory against the Rangers.
Pete mentioned it. I love that Moore, Fogle, Deneau line right now. Yeah. I think that is just your classic Kings middle six line that is still going to get their 16, 17 minutes every single night. Maybe not a ton of power play time, but some looks on PP2. They're going to have a couple penalty killers on there as well to maybe get some shorthanded chances. Trevor Moore was having an awful season, but it feels like he's kind of turning it around a little bit. I love Warren Fogle. I think he's one of those pieces that Edmonton is desperately missing if you add in the Holloway, and that's the reason why I'm a little skeptical of them going into this year. I've always liked Philip Deneau, so that's a line I'm going to continue to attack in the prop market, guys, and I just love the way that the Kings are playing right now. Maybe there's an angle on them to win the division. We can get into that maybe in On the Money here coming up, and I don't know. I still have an open space, Nick, for a Stanley Cup future in the Western Conference. All I've got still is the Capitals, so I'm not saying I'm locking it in just yet, but the Kings are on my radar, at least for that Western Conference team.
There you have it. Sell yourself to J-Con. Let's reopen that mailbag here. A bunch of questions about injury replacements for some of the injured players. Again, Peter Mrazek, these goalies, you guys know how I feel, and Hutz knows the same thing. I'm going to bring it up in our segment with Carter Hutton on the money coming up, presented by Bet365. Mrazek goes down. Okay. Talbot's banged up. Okay. Alex Lyon maybe is the next option. Kosa, I know, has been recalled too, but I'd look externally. John Gibson, Jake Allen, Scott Wedgwood, a couple guys that would look at. Gabe Vilardi, Jake, week-to-week upper body injury. Alex Iafallo has the garden seat on the top line with Connor and Scheifele. Externally, I would look at Neighbors, Rust, and Coronado.
Well, and we just talked about Stuart Skinner and yet another injury, him leaving the game. I think Cal Pickard was going to get the start on Thursday night in Seattle anyways. So I think you fire up Cal Pickard, and with that potential that even if Skinner is healthy, does Edmonton want to roll him out there every game? And Pickard's actually been okay as a backup. I think he's given them chances to win games when he's gotten out there, and he'd probably be available in a ton of leagues. So I think I would go to the waiver wire and try to scoop him up just because of that potential that if he becomes the guy in Edmonton for even a short period of time, that could be enough to scoop you up a few extra wins.
And so Vegas, one of the hottest players in the NHL in the second half, Tomas Hertl, has a shoulder problem. Nikolai Waugh, Brandon Saad, Pavel Dorofeev, guys I would look at in the top six right now for the Golden Knights. Externally, Dylan Holloway, Jonathan Huberdeau, Taylor Hall. It really is a fascinating time in the fantasy season. I always bring this up, but we're close to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I think we're going to see some rest down the stretch, which is an aggravation a bit for fantasy owners trying to win a title here, Jake.
It is. It's not as bad as playing NBA fantasy, Nick. I play NBA fantasy, and it is just unbelievable the amount of guys that don't play on a night-to-night basis. So we have it pretty good. I'm not going to complain too much, but it is something you still have to navigate, especially with some of those veteran players. Teams get locked up. And honestly, at this point of the season, I am pro-rest. If you're a cup contender and you have your sights set on winning 16 games in the springtime, I don't mind giving guys games off. Where it would bother me would be, you know, earlier in the season when you're just, you know, you don't want to play a back-to-back or something like that. I'm glad we don't see that in this league anymore, Nick. But yeah, it's amazing. 2025, and we're still talking Taylor Hall helping you out in fantasy playoffs. It's amazing what he's been doing.
He's been on fire for all the ranted in conversation. Taylor Hall looks like a really good fit, and it sounds like he's going to re-sign in Carolina as well. Delivered by Skip. We had a question come in. How would you handle the debut of Brad Marchand? I will tell you right now, Jake Mackey, Samuskevich, one of the best names in hockey. I think he's getting another boost here.
He might be. And again, we're going to look at line combos here. It looks like Marchand might be slotting in on the second line, I believe, and I'm sure they'd like to get him some touches on the power play as well. So maybe a bit of an easing in process for him, because we know Florida has their guys. They have their studs. They don't really need to rush Marchand into this lineup. But I think, you know, slowly get his feet wet, get him comfortable, and then eventually ramp him up. This is perfect timing for the Panthers, Nick, to get him a handful of games before the playoffs and just get him comfortable with his teammates and ready to go. So it's going to be weird seeing Brad Marchand rocking that Panthers jersey possibly on Friday night.
Yeah, against Utah, it was Samuskevich, Marchand, Bennett on a line, and that's Pete's biggest backer right now in fantasy hockey, Mackie Samuskevich. 4 goals, 8 points here in the month of March. So looking forward to the debut of Brad Marchand. Projected, Pete, coming up on Friday night here against Utah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's going to be one of those situations. I mean, Boston, you look at right now, they're losing to everybody. There was a real missing amount of talent on that team compared to previous years. You look at Brad Marchand's high danger shots on goal, 94th percentile, 66 high danger shots. And then all of a sudden his shooting percentage in high danger is below 50th, below the league average. So that's going to flip in a jiffy, I think, with him playing with so much better talent down in Florida.
I'm just so curious to see how this Cats team looks, even when Ekblad comes back in game 3 of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's now time for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. As you bring in former NHL goalie now with Daily Faceoff of the Nation Network, NHL Network Radio as well, it is Carter Hutton. Hutsy, still recovering from our trip to Nashville this past weekend, but a perfect podcast to bring you on because every goalie doesn't want to play these days. How are you?
Yeah, it's tough. These are the games I got to play, especially when you're out of the playoffs and you're not in the mix anymore. But honestly, recovering from Nashville, happy to be back and glad to jump on and talk a little NHL hockey as we come down the stretch here, Nicky.
Did you ever have a buddy who told you, hey, like, I'm, you know, playing fantasy hockey and I'm dressing you tonight?
Yeah, a few people. I also, I think I had on the other side of it was, hey, I had you in fantasy last night and you weren't very good, so I'm not too happy with you. The DMs I would get and the tweets that would come my way, but I guess that's the cost of doing business as a goalie.
Yeah, you give up a few and Carter Hutton's hitting a waiver wire near you. So I think I've used Carter in fantasy before. There's no doubt, right, Nick? Me and you have been playing for a while. Sure. I've certainly streamed Carter at a few points. Hopefully he worked out for me at the time. But I got a goalie-related question for you and a betting-related question as well here in the On the Money segment, Carter. We have seen a shift in the Hart Trophy odds to the point where Connor Hellebuck has now become the favorite. Right now, minus 170 over at Bet365. Is that justified to you based on the Draisaitl injury? Like, would you, if you had a vote right now, would you give the award to Connor Hellebuck, a goaltender?
Well, I think, Jakey, you know what the argument always is goalies don't play all the year, right? And now the fact of the matter is Draisaitl's missing an extended period of time, and now he's slumping into that category where, you know, how many games does he finish at? Where you look at Connor Hellebuck, he is a workhorse, he plays a ton. My only concern is down the stretch, if Winnipeg starts to, you know, put Comrie in a little more to give Hellebuck some rest, you know, it might skew those odds a little bit. But that being said, you know, I don't think there's been a goalie since, you know, Carey Price that could really, you can make that argument that he could have the chance to, you know, win the Hart, especially being Winnipeg's top player and the biggest difference maker for this Winnipeg Jets team, who they're going to need in the playoffs as things move forward.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think you have to try to find a way, a pathway that makes sense, and it doesn't happen very frequently, but you look at the body of work, very comparable to Jose Theodore, Carey Price about a decade ago, and I think it is justified this season. I'm not even the goalie, and I will say I did take Draisaitl at plus money the other day. I saw him on the ice for the morning skate. I do think there's a bit of value there. You know what? I tweeted Laura Branigan the other day just saying, Gloria, 13-2-2 in the last 17 for the St. Louis Blues. Are we seeing 2019 all over again, Hutz?
Yeah, I think we're seeing it right now. And I also think this is a fact of Jim Montgomery coming in too and giving this team some confidence. You look at Broberg, Holloway, what they've come in and been able to do. But for me, I like this team post Four Nations Cup. You look at Jordan Binnington, talk about a shot in the arm for confidence. This is a guy that's picked up a lot of wins since that Four Nations Cup, and he's been a difference maker down the stretch, which you're going to need to see. Because I look at that little fight we have logjam now with Demko back. I think there's value there in Vancouver, him playing a lot of minutes, you know, pushing those numbers. So it's going to be a lot of fun down the stretch. And I think for the St. Louis Blues, they're confident and they're a team that are looking to make the playoffs. We've seen tickets go on sale for the playoffs a couple weeks ago. So they're all in St. Louis.
An April tradition like no other, guys, isn't just the Masters at Augusta, which coming up, but it's also Edmonton facing LA in the playoffs. That's just become a tradition now in this league. Carter, Nick and I think, disagree on this one. He seems like he's putting the flag in the ground. Edmonton's still Edmonton. I like the way LA's shaping up right now going into this potential matchup. It's not locked in just yet, but do you want to split the difference here? LA, Edmonton, how are you feeling about that potential? What are we on, fourth or fifth meeting between these teams now?
Yeah, you know, obviously I think the battle for home ice is going to be important for both these teams, right? I think LA for the chance to try to, you know, pass Edmonton and get to a point where, you know, they can hold home ice. My only concern, Jakey, is the fact of the matter is Leon Draisaitl's out right now, Connor McDavid. This is like strategic planning in my offense. I think I would be picking these guys up when they come back because they're going to come out shot like a rocket. So I still err on the side of Edmonton. I think when you have the two best players in the world on one team, there is that side. But I do like what Edmonton's building, you know, with their team in this little holdup. And as for LA, I like the unders when those teams meet because I think LA does a great job of defending and protecting Darcy Kemper.
So, Hutsy, Tort's gone in Philadelphia. Can you explain the new coach bump? I'm sure you've been part of it in your NHL career. We got Philadelphia at home to Montreal. Can I interest you in the Flyers as a home dog in that game?
I don't mind it because I think with a new coach and just the fact that they're going to go in, I think Breer is going to send a message to these players that, you know, potentially this season's done, right? You're not moving on. You're going through, and I've been through coaching changes. You're trying to prove yourself to the next coach, the GM. Everyone is playing for a contract. So I think it's going to be a desperate hockey team. After the game the other night in Toronto, you know, that was a tough one to swallow. So I look at this team to bounce back, and I don't mind that. The fact of the matter is Earson's got to be better because Fedotov has not had it since he's come over from the KHL.
Help me pick a team in the Western Conference here, Hutz. I was throwing this at Nick a little bit. I only have one Stanley Cup future in the hopper right now. I really like it. It's Washington. I love the path for the Capitals. I'm not fearing really any of those teams that they could potentially play in that wild card matchup, and then they'd get Carolina or New Jersey. But having a tougher time locking one down in the West, maybe I just go with my Kings. I've just made a pretty solid case for them. But is there anybody there that jumps out to you that you think is maybe the team to beat in the West right now?
You know, honestly, I think with the depth they've added and the fact that they have two really good goalies right now, for me, it's the Colorado Avalanche. I still think that they are where they're sitting and the respect that they're going to demand when you play them come playoff time, it's going to be huge. I like Dallas, but the Heiskanen worries me. I just think the fact that he isn't back, he isn't healthy, we don't know where he's going to be for a guy that carries that many minutes, it's going to be hard to fill that void. So if I, not that I'm really going out on a limb here taking the Colorado Avalanche, but that would be my pick in the West because I just don't feel Winnipeg has that depth in the Central Division. And other than that, you know, maybe Vegas makes a battle. But for me, it'd be Colorado Avalanche would be the team that I'd be putting my money into on that side.
And if it is Dallas and Colorado in the first round, that is going to be appointment viewing. And shout out to Thomas Hurley. I've mentioned time and time again, one of my best friends coached him in junior. And I just saw from a very young age how filthy that kid is. And he has been so good with Miro Heiskanen out of that lineup, and Jim Nill and that scouting staff, just another win getting Thomas Hurley, drafting him a couple years back. So Brad Marchand-Hutz expected to make his Panthers debut coming up on Friday night against Utah. Are they like your favorites in the Eastern Conference? How do you feel about a team going to the Stanley Cup final for like 3 years in a row?
Yeah, they have to be. I think at this point they've earned the right to have that too. And again, we talk about that all the time, Nick. We talk about the Leafs and it's always that black cloud hanging over them, the playoffs and what they're going to do. But Florida has that depth. They have the experience. And for me, again, another X factor is when I look at this team is Sergei Bobrovsky, right? He is a guy that can carry the mail. He has the mental capacity to be good in those big moments, especially in a star-studded Atlantic. But Brad Marchand is going to add so much jam to this team, right? And it's the new NHL where every guy's good at skating. Every guy's skill is so high. We look at players that can bring a little more, and Brad Marchand is one of those guys that can change a series with a hit, with a goal. He brings so many other elements. And again, along with Matthew Tkachuk and Sam Bennett, Brad Marchand is a player that drags players into the fight. He drags you into the mud. He makes you, you know, play that style of game. And I think that just adds value to this Florida team down the stretch. The biggest thing for me is, are we going to see a healthy Brad Marchand? You know, hopefully this time away has been important. And I also think teams are strategic now. They're going to let guys sit out a little longer to make sure that they're ready to go, knowing that they're going to try to go on a long stretch here.
10 games Thursday night, guys. Nice, busy card. Lot of matchups that are going to affect the race, and whether it's the Western Conference or Eastern Conference. One of them that jumps out to me right away is Calgary hosting Dallas. I think they get Dallas in a pretty good spot here, guys. Dallas playing Edmonton the night before, and not a ton of travel, right? But you do the Alberta double, and the Flames just seem like a pesky team right now. Nazem Kadri scoring overtime winners, and if Dustin Wolf starts this game, I don't mind the Flames as a home dog here. Carter, is there anything Thursday night that's jumping out to you on a busy 10-game card?
No, I do like that game. I think it's important for them to, you know, get off to a good start, especially with a team that doesn't really like to find the back of the net a lot, you know, looking like they're going to get Casey DeSmith in this game. So I do like the Flames at home. I think they're at a point now in their season where they have to be desperate down the stretch. But the other game that sticks out for me tonight would be the Ottawa Senators. I think losing that game in Buffalo, starting Eric Comrie, now you have Linus Allmark, you're going into Detroit. These are desperate hockey teams. I think in their next few games here, they play Columbus in the next three times. So I think they're going to have to be on top of their game to really widen that gap to, you know, take that first spot in the wild card. So I like Ottawa tonight in Detroit.
Every time I think Ottawa's taking that next step, they have just a game where it's like, oh, like, how do you lose to Buffalo? Like, Josh Norris doesn't even play in that game. You score like 5 minutes in. Cousins gets his revenge point and you lose that game, but it's just the turbulence of playing in an 82-game slate. A couple things I'm looking at, I like the Maple Leafs puck line. All these former teams that Carter Hutton I'm on tonight, Toronto at San Jose, officially a member of both those franchises. Toronto puck line, then you got St. Louis at Nashville. I got to ride the St. Louis Blues. Hutz, I don't know, we talked about them a bit, but the Predators coming off that win against the Leafs, they're really good on the weekend. But the Blues, the way that team is playing, I gotta ride them right now.
Yeah, and it seemed like they're having fun too. You know, you talk about their stare down, we heard Holloway talk about it the other day, you know, just having fun before the game and being loose, and that's so important for teams, right? I've been on lots of teams where there is pressure, there is expectations, and that can get to you. And when I look at the St. Louis Blues team right now, they're playing free. I don't think there was expectations to make the playoff and be in this situation. So now there's more pressure on these other teams that are, you know, destined to try to win a Stanley Cup. So I look at St. Louis to be very good tonight. Usually what stays in motion, you know, continues. And Jim Montgomery has these guys playing the right way. And we saw Nashville beat the Leafs, but I can't see them taking out these St. Louis Blues right now on this run they're on.
I can't either. Hutz, you're a beauty. Thank you so much for your time today.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Pete, let's tie a bow on this puppy.
Will do. Yeah, I got a little point prop parlay for you. Yeah. David Perron's been hot, plus 155 for him to have at least a point. Zach Bolduc, keep the good times rolling. 7 goals in 13 games this month, leads all rookies. You could actually get him at plus money for a point and plus 260 for a goal if you want. Also, Brendan Gallagher at Philly, maybe take advantage of that spiraling situation. 320 for an anytime goal, plus 115 for a point. He's been really good on that Montreal third line as well.
Jakey?
PD parlay coming up with some nice props there. I love that. I also don't mind Dylan Cousins right now, guys. He gets the Buffalo experience past him. I think as returns go, Nick, I know you love your revenge. I think that went pretty well, and it was a quiet Tuesday night Sabres crowd. I mean, who's going to Sabres games at this point anyway? So I think that was a nice, easy landing spot for him. He gets a power play assist early to kind of ease him a little bit. Okay, a couple claps. So putting that behind him, I think, is a good thing, and he was already playing well with Ottawa. So I'm going to continue to look at Cousins props here and load up on your Maple Leafs, Nick. I know you mentioned it in On the Money, Leafs a puck line. They tend to maybe give a few of these games away, but I think they're ready to just roll through the Sharks and maybe load up on your Marner props, your JT props, who's been going right now.
Sounds good. Happy opening day, boys. We'll be back with you on Monday, week 24, Waiver Wire edition. Thank you to producer Phil Constantino, for Jay Conn and Pete Jensen. I'm Nick Alberga. Also, don't forget to check out the latest editions of NHL Unscripted and Energy Line. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.